Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. I am your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very, very accomplished branding guru, training guru from Toronto, Canada, Mr. Bobby Omar. Bobby, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Thank you. Bobby is the president of Ray Allen, which is the Transformation Training and Speaking Organization. He's the CEO of DYPB, which is Discover Your Personal Brand. He's a keynote speaker, a virtual trainer, and a coach. So Bobby, let's first talk about Ray Allen. What is transformation training?
Well, the idea is that when I first launched it 15 years ago, I knew that speaking training was something that I was born to do and really good at. And so what I do is I look at individuals and organizations and transforming them in terms of their leadership skills, their ability to do better storytellers, to create more alignment with their personal brand, to be better networkers and build meaningful relationships, whether it's within the organization or whether externally with customers or clients or to build leads. So for me, helping people transform their leadership skills to that next level or to build a thought leadership brand for them, that's why what I do is transformative.
Okay. And, you know, you work with many, many people. What are some of the challenges that people face in their communication and public speaking? And try and give me some examples if possible.
Well, I think the biggest example or the biggest challenge people have when it comes to speaking and communication is confidence. A lot of people in the workplace, lack the confidence to speak up, to share their thoughts, or to do it more clearly. And the other thing that I think people have struggled with is to do it in a more persuasive manner. How do I persuade my manager or my client or my organization about something that I think is really important? They haven't built the skills or the practice to learn with confidence, to be persuasive, to leverage data, to storytelling. These are the specific things that they struggle with to, communicate more effectively.
Okay. And give me some examples. I mean, some of the people you may have worked with, without names, of course.
Well, one time I did a thing. I actually did a speech for women lawyers, actually. And so that the idea was that, they're lawyers, so they have to speak up in court and speak up in their cases. Mm-hmm. And the other thing was they also wanted to do better with speaking in a world where there was more dominant men in the boardroom or in the workplace. Mm-hmm. And so we spent a lot of time talking about that and giving them the skills and tools and also practicing that, like even just doing 30-second pitches, elevator pitches to help them understand, to build that confidence, put that stuff out there. Working with them was the idea was to transform their confidence as well as their impact in the workplace, in the courtroom.
Okay. And it is generally believed that good speakers are trained. They're not born. What are your perspectives?
Well, I mean, I would say that there's some people have natural abilities, right? And so, I always had a natural ability to speak. Mm-hmm. I never took any training. So I've always been able to do it. And so, I learned by doing. I learned by getting feedback. And I practice, and then I become very, very, very good at it.
Okay.
And I know the things that I'm good at. I know the things that I, like the one thing that I'm not good at as a speaker is I talk very fast. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes I get excited and I talk really quickly and I have to learn to calm down, keep the pace, keep the tone. So I'm working on that all the time.
Okay.
So I think there are people who have natural talent. Mm-hmm. And so like my daughter, she's 10. She has natural talent. I know she could be a speaker. Whereas my son, he's a little more quiet and he doesn't articulate himself all the time as well as he could. So with training, he could become a very good speaker. And I think anyone can become a really good speaker with the proper training.
Fantastic. So, I've spoken to many, many people. And one of the problems that a lot of people articulate is stage fright. They say, when I get up and go to an annual general meeting of shareholders and I'm standing in front of 5,000 shareholders, or if I'm going to a boardroom where there are 30 board members and observers and so on, there's this whole concept of stage fright. What can they do to overcome such stage fright?
Well, there's a lot of things they can do. I mean, certainly the number one thing they can do is prepare, right? So the more prepared you are for the task at hand, the less likely you're going to have the nerves. I think that's one thing to keep in mind. So prepare as much as you possibly can to lessen the nerves. Number two, understand that the nerves are there for reasons, because you care and you want to do your best. Mm. And nerves are normal. In fact, someone like myself who's been a public speaker for many, many years, I still get nerves because I care. I want to do a good job. I care to do a good job on this podcast. So there's a little bit of nerves. And I think that's okay. So understanding that, that's normal, I think helps people, which leads to the idea that you need to work on mindset. So a lot of people that I work with and my clients, we spend a lot of time on mindset, confidence building, overcoming imposter syndrome, understanding the fears that they have, what's behind that. The other thing that helps too is once you organize yourself very, very well, you can also rehearse your stuff. So rehearse it in a way that, you know, will lessen the nerves again. When I did my first TEDx talk, I was very nervous about it because it was the first time. And I rehearsed that thing like 30 times, which is very abnormal for me. I never rehearsed something more than once or twice. And I rehearsed that thing 30 times and I was very, very nervous. But it helped, you know, because I was, okay, I've done this 30 times now. I've got the rhythm. I've got the groove. I feel good about it. The last thing I'll say is when it comes to those nerves, you know, don't think of yourself as a speaker. Think of yourself as a teacher. What's that one thing you want to teach people in this room that you know more about than anyone else, and you have the knowledge and they're actually looking forward to seeing what you have to say? You don't have to be one of those big speakers like you know, Tony Robbins or anything like that. You can actually just focus on being a teacher and have that mindset to actually help people learn something.
The other question that I wanted to ask you, as you know, as someone who's such a big guru on training and speaking, this is for a lot of the young people who watch our show. When they go for interviews, there is a lot of nervousness. And people then tend to falter when they're answering questions. Any thoughts or tips for them?
Well, it's very similar to what I said before for speaking, but the organization, the preparation, the rehearsal, all that kind of stuff. So same questions. Prepare. But let me add another thing, which is personal branding. I'm a really big believer in branding. So one of the things with personal branding is that most people think about personal branding or branding as a means to stand out and to be noticed, to be memorable, right? To have that brand that everyone sees you and you stand out, which is great. But the other thing about personal branding that people don't know or is not as commonly known is when you dive deep into understanding yourself, you understand how you're perceived, you identify your strengths and your weaknesses, you identify your values and your skills and your traits, you can actually get more clarity and more focus and more direction around what you're doing. And when you have more clarity, focus, and direction on who you are and where you're going and why you're doing what you're doing, particularly whether it comes to job searching, whether it comes to business growth, you have more confidence when you go into these things. So when you go into that interview, you actually have more confidence because you know why you're there and you know what you're trying to do. And I think if you do work in personal branding, it's going to help you significantly, along with the prep, along with the rehearsal, and along with trying to work on your mindset.
Fascinating. So let's now move to your other area of expertise, which is DYPB, Discover Your Personal Brand. You have spoken a little bit about personal branding, but before we go any deeper, what is a personal brand?
Well, you know, a personal brand is essentially your reputation. It's how people perceive you. It's how people experience you. What is the emotional experience you give to people? You know, so there's someone out there is a really funny, jovial person. Someone out there is a very kind of cold and prickly person. Another person is someone who seems quiet. Another person seems loud. It's how people remember you and how they perceive you. So reputation management is really, integrity is what we're trying to work on. And it's built by how people perceive you, not what you think it is, it's what they think it is. And as soon as you know as soon as you understand what they think it is, you can use it to your advantage, or you can also grow it in a way that betters the areas which you want to improve.
And how important is it for someone to invest in their personal brand?
Well, I mean, I personal branding is everything. Do you not want to have a good reputation in the workplace? Do you not want to have a good reputation among your friends? Do you not want to have a good reputation in your family or with your kids? I think that personal branding covers every single aspect of our personal and professional lives. So I think it's important for us to know what it is. And then it's also important for us to be mindful so that we can work to better it, right? Because there's things that people, you know, if you're always late and everyone knows you're always late and Do you like, if you like that, fine, be that way. But if you don't like that, you need to start changing your behavior to not always be late all the time. So, you know, again, and again, two things, you know, one is your reputation is important, but also again, personal branding also, if you want more focus, clarity, and purpose in your life, because most of us feel lost or stuck or unfulfilled with what we're doing in some area of our life, whether it's our work or our physical health, or whether it's our relationships, we need to be better at that. So investing in yourself, to know yourself and to better yourself, to make, because, you know, better you is a better everything else, right? If you work on yourself, you'll make everything better. You're being a better parent, being a better son, being a better coworker, being a better leader. And so, yeah, I think it's the best investment you could do.
Amazing. And if I or someone wants to start, you know, investing in my personal brand, what are some of the factors that I should start looking at in myself?
Well, number one, commitment. So what I can tell you is that most people talk the talk of personal branding, but most don't want to do the work. Personal branding, you know, I break it down to three areas. There's the discovery of personal brand, which is the deep dive analysis, feedback mechanisms, self-assessments and online assessments, all that kind of stuff. Then there's the design your personal brand. You look at your traits, your objectives, your target audience, come up with the strategies and the tools, the learning to get to where you want to go. And then you deliver your personal brand. You put it out there. You're doing blog posts, you're doing speeches, you're doing all the things out there to build it. And most of us are stuck in design mode. We're constantly designing, strategizing, come up with the tactics. And what we don't do is we don't do the deep dive work. So for number one, you have to commit to the deep dive, discover your personal brand piece. And then once you do that, then it's a process of your own self-assessment, the assessment of others, so doing like surveys and getting people to give you feedback, and then doing online assessments. And when you do that and start exploring things like your personality traits, your strengths and weaknesses, your skills, your values, you'll be able to actually start carving a clear identity of who you are and what makes you unique and special. And then you can start working on that target and that objective.
Fascinating. And, you know, again, when while speaking to many people on personal branding, a lot of people seem to have a misconception that if I am very, very popular on social media, I must have got a powerful brand. I'd love to get your perspective.
Well, I mean, you know, popularity, I guess the question to ask is, why are you popular? Right? I mean, people can be popular for various reasons. Maybe you did something. I mean, you could have done something amazing and inspirational. Okay, that's great. Maybe you did something foolish and people think that, you know, you're, they have a negative brand. I mean, you know, popularity in branding can be positive popularity brand or it could be a negative popularity brand. There are people out there who are famous for being fools, right? So, you know, it's important to understand what that popularity is coming from because it might be not, it might not be the good thing.
And should I, if I'm looking to build my personal brand, be just, you know, shouting from the rooftop saying, I am this, you know, don't you know who I am? I have achieved this. I mean, how do I get my message across to people on who I am? Because that's what you're saying is my personal brand.
Yeah, I mean, there's different ways to, you know, like once you're clear on your brand and you want to part and you've designed and a strategy of how to put it out there. I mean, and we're talking about a digital strategy, a relationship building strategy, you know, a career growth strategy, business development strategy. Once you've developed that, you know, there's social media, there's networking events, there's all these different things. So when you go there with some sort of purpose and strategy. So when you go to a networking event, for example, you have a clear idea of what you're there for, what kind of people you want to meet, and how to present yourself in an effective way. If you're doing digitally, you know, you should optimize your LinkedIn profile, your Instagram profiles, or whatever profiles you have. You should start creating content and start creating content about the things that you want to talk about, the things that you want to be known for, and the things you want to be an expert at. And it doesn't matter what age you are. I mean, there are young people who are 22, 23 years old who built a strong thought leadership brand for themselves because they put out content all the time. And now after 2 years, they're known as an expert in topic X, Y, Z. And so I think that's something we all can be doing. And it doesn't happen overnight, right? It's not like you're going to be like the king of the world in one day. The more you create the content, the more you build relationships, eventually you're going to start to get noticed for the things you're doing. And as you're doing it, you get feedback and you evolve and you keep going, but and you change what you're doing. But, you know, it takes time to get there, but, you know, people can get there.
Fascinating. And you just mentioned that, you know, people are 21, 22 can start building their personal brand. I would love to get your perspective on at what stage in one's life should one really start focusing on one's personal brand. I mean, you know, if you're an outstanding sports person, you'll be known all over. But someone who's 21, 22 has to work at it.
Well, I think that anyone can start their personal brand whenever they want. I mean, there are people out there who, by sheer circumstance, had to work on their brands at an early age because they became famous. You know, musicians are a good example of that. Mm-hmm. And so branding becomes a big issue. Or someone like Malala, you know, who at 14 was well-known, and now, you know, what's her brand? And she has to be clear what that is. Mm. So I would say that you can start whenever you want. But I think the best time to really start thinking about it is when you're looking for a job.
Okay.
So, you know, most people, teenagers, start looking for a job. They, you know, have to have a resume, because your resume is part of your personal brand. You know, what are you presenting out there to the world? How do you dress at the interview? Like, these are all things that, you know, will set you apart. Mm. A lot of young kids are setting up styles and brands on Instagram. Mm. And so it's there. And so you have an opportunity to do it sooner than later. So I think I would educate young people before they get phones and laptops about, you know, the online world, digital world, and the digital footprint that they're going to create for themselves. And, you know, I'd rather have the people who are 22 who actually have a strong brand, they've been working on it for like 5-6 years. They started in high school and now they've got that. So I think that as soon as you're out there meeting people, as soon as you're out there visually presenting yourself on platforms, mm-hmm. you need to be thinking about personal branding.
Wow. And a follow-up question from that would be, what can hurt a personal brand?
Well, I mean, first off, doing terrible things mm-hmm. will hurt any personal brand. I mean, that's a general thing. I think the other thing that hurts a personal brand is not being aware of it, mm-hmm. right? So there's a lot of people who, not a lot, but there's a few. Like, when I started talking about personal brand many years ago, you know, most people said, well, what is that? I'm not a bar of soap. I'm not mm-hmm. a product. I'm like, well, mm-hmm. no, you're not a product. It's just a reputation thing. And I'm trying to explain this to them. Mm-hmm. And then later on, more people are like, well, why is personal brand important? And nowadays, you know, there's still 10% that are like, I'm not a bar of soap. Mm. But most people, but the majority of people are like, I get why personal brand is important. Now I want to know how do I do it? Mm. I want to know how to do it. So, you know, what stops a personal brand, the bad parts of personal branding is, you know, another one is not acting on it, right? Mm. Not leveraging it, not taking the time to understand what it is, because it's your most powerful resource to create clarity and set yourself apart. So who doesn't want more clarity of focus? Who doesn't want to be set apart, to stand out from other people with what they're doing? It's investing in that, and people don't do that. That to me is the big mistake. Not investing in your personal brand, that's a big mistake.
Mm. Fascinating. So I've got time for two more questions, and I'm this one deciding what to ask you, but I wanted to check, ask you, as a personal branding guru, are politicians strong personal brands?
Well, I mean, the strongest personal brands of politicians are the ones that get attention, absolutely. Bad or good, right? I mean, you know, politics, I'm very passionate about politics. You know, I see political leaders all the time who, you know, they build certain brands and then, you know, they screw up because they do something that doesn't make any sense. And then it affects their brand in a negative way. You know, we had an incident here in Canada where our prime minister was, you know, building this brand around being very supportive of Indigenous people. And then on our National Day of Reconciliation, he took a vacation, didn't do anything. And everyone's like, what are you doing? Like, that's crazy. And that negatively affected his brand, right? And now he has to like figure things out all the time. It takes time to build up the brand, but it's way easier to lose the trust in that brand. And they have to build it up again over a longer period of time. And so, and their political leaders are there who are very negative, and they're getting, you know, and we know them for that. And they get a lot of attention around that. And that's a brand too, and they stay consistent to that. Mm. So, you know, I think every politician needs to work on their brand, and the best ones who stand out and create that impact and get votes are the ones that actually have a brand that people can recognize, that they can relate to, good or bad, and they get the votes.
Mm. And for any brand, whether it's a, you know, FMCG brand or any other service brand, you've got to keep investing over and over again throughout the life of the brand for it to stay relevant. Is that something similar that you would advise for personal brand also?
Yeah, I think that, you know, we change, people change. So we have to be constantly reinvesting and understanding how things have changed. So, you know, for example, you know, me, before I had kids and now that I have kids, my values and some things about my personality, what I care about, have changed. Like, for example, I'm more into children's issues. I'm more political than I was when I was younger. Mm-hmm. I'm more settled than I was when I was younger. So, you know, those things change in terms of what I care about. Mm-hmm. But the other thing is life changes. People out there change. Your network changes. So me, even as a brand, you know, before the pandemic, right? I mean, what was it before? I was out there speaking and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I had to shift my brand and I started doing more coaching and online programs. Mm-hmm. I'm now doing more work around thought leadership and digital presence than I was before, mm. right? So, you know, you have to evolve with yourself. So I usually recommend people to reinvest in a brand and check it out every couple of years, mm-hmm. to see where their values and interests and skills are the same, or they're changing, or they're shifting. Because yeah, I mean, everything evolves, including ourselves.
Wonderful. And Bobby, my last question to you, and this is that, is a behavioral change a precursor to building one's personal brand?
Behavioral change. Well, I mean, it depends what that is. I mean, I think, you know, behavior change certainly can, if you want, like I said, for example, we use the example of the late person, right? That's a behavior. The person's always late. Everyone knows they're late and they call them, oh, it's always late, Larry. There you go. Mm. He's late again. Mm. Now, if you want to change that brand, you have to change your behavior. Mm. You have to always come early or come on time. Mm. And according to statistics, you have to be consistent with that behavior 7 to 13 times in a row.
Okay.
Before that brand starts to change. So Larry, let's say Larry decides to change. He's coming early. He's 10 minutes early every time. Mm. And he does it 9 times in a row. And then on the 10th time, he's like, oh, he's late. And then, there's Larry again doing the thing he always does. He starts again before he has to build it up again. Or maybe it's stuck. Who knows? Mm. Mm. But yeah, I mean, a lot of the stuff that's part of our brand is based on our behaviors. I mean, that's because, you know, a personal brand is a promise you deliver to people. It's how they, you know, so for example, Bobby, my brand is one of warmth and humor. Now, if I'm all of a sudden not funny or I'm not warm, it's gonna be very striking. Like, oh, Bobby, is Bobby having a bad day? What's going on? Like, they're okay. Because and that's entirely based on my behavior. So because your behaviors are what create the memorable experience with people, that's either positive or negative. So yes, I think most of our brand recognition is based on our behaviors. Same with big brands to the companies.
Very, very interesting. Bobby, on that note, thank you so much. It's been such a privilege speaking to you. Thank you for talking to me about Ray Allen and training. And more importantly, thank you for talking to me and so many of our viewers and listeners on the importance of personal branding. Thank you again and good luck.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.